Good afternoon. Wow, that works well. Good afternoon. Let me call the Personnel Committee of February 26, 2024 to order. Let's go through introductions starting on my left.
Good afternoon. Rory Diamond, District 13.
Good afternoon. Nick Howland, Group 3 at large.
Randy White, District 12.
Ron Salem, Group 2 at large.
Greetings, everybody. Kevin Carrico, District 4.
Councilmember Freeman got called into a work meeting just a few minutes ago and will not be able to attend. So this is who we're dealing with. Let me just make some opening comments. I'm going to pretty much repeat what I've said from the dais for the last couple of meetings. I believe the City Council needs to be prepared with the big issues that we have in front of us, one being the stadium, another being collective bargaining, and potentially other issues that we need to have the ability to have our own council to help us handle those issues. For the stadium, we do have some council, and that question has come up. Michael Hugh, who we contract with, but Michael is not a negotiator of such that we would possibly need in those situations. Michael's a very knowledgeable person on the workings of the NFL, what other cities have been able to negotiate regarding their stadiums and such, and can be very helpful eventually in helping our council members understand the agreement that hopefully will be brought to us at some point. But he would not be someone that I would see to be in the weeds of if we needed someone. So with those thoughts, I asked Councilmember Diamond, I think the day, first day he got back, and I said, Councilmember Diamond, you're the only attorney on the council, and I'd like you to explore with various law firms within the city the potential to serve us. And the caveat I gave to him is I do not want an in-house attorney. I want someone that we can use, a firm that we can use that's broad-based, that we could pay by the hour as we need them, was one thing. And the other caveat, I said, any of those services would come through the president's office. I don't want individual council members to start ordering up legal services as they see. I want to control the costs so that we can use it effectively, as we have basically with Michael Hugh. I have introduced legislation moving $100,000 from the president's contingency into a fund for this use. That money will roll over. So if it's not used by September 30th, that money will stay there so it could be used in the future. So with that, I'll turn to Councilmember Diamond to give his report on what he found.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President, and really appreciate the homework right off the bat here, but happy to do it. It was kind of fun having other lawyers in the council because then they would yell at me more often. So as everyone here probably knows, but just to set a baseline, our charter creates the Office of General Counsel, OGC, which is supposed to provide legal services to all the entities throughout the city and really has provided great efficiencies over the years, probably minimized conflict between agencies and between different political entities. So OGC's by and large does exactly what it's supposed to do. But at the same time, we also have the Office of Legislative Counsel, which is created by the charter. And it essentially has a very large purview. It says, yes, you can create this office, whether it's an outside firm or inside council. And I know council president wants this to be an outside firm. But you can set this up, and they can advise the council on anything that's legislatively related. So essentially, is it about doing our jobs for the city? Then they can provide counsel. The tension, of course, is we don't want to do anything for the council that OGC is already doing for us, right? So we're blessed with, like, Mary Stafopoulos. She's awesome. She does everything. She's amazing. So it's not to recreate what, like, Mary Stafopoulos does for us, but instead to provide that, you know, kind of like level of advice when going to OGC doesn't make sense, right? To, in particular, where there might be tensions between parts of the city government. Okay. So with that backdrop in mind, I looked across the city of Jacksonville and had various kind of categories and things that we were looking for. And just so the public knows what the kind of matrix looks like, the first thing I was looking for was a firm that had an office in Jacksonville. Didn't have to have a headquarters in Jacksonville, but needed to have an office here. I wasn't interested in hiring some, like, New York-based firm that, you know, will have some associate charging $800 an hour to review something that a local lawyer would know right off the bat. So it had to be local. The second part is a little bit more complicated, and it starts to narrow really fast. You have to have experience in municipal government and somebody who does that. You know, the other stuff is important, but we have to have somebody who could do municipal government, which essentially counts out all the biggest law firms. You know, I worked at McGuire Woods, Hall & Knights here. These are huge, mega international law firms. But they tend not to do much of that work. They have lawyers throughout their firms that do it, but not locally. So the huge monster firms were kind of out. Also wanted to have a firm with some experience in Jacksonville, and Jacksonville politics and our charter, because this is a very specific area of knowledge and expertise, and so we have to have people who could do that. And then these last two are where you really just start knocking folks out, unfortunately. Conflicts. We couldn't have either apparent or perceived or just like obvious going to be a conflict. It's really complicated because you have really great firms here, but they're doing work for, say, tons of work for JEA, tons of work for other pieces of the city, or are adverse to the city in 40 different places. You know, one or two, no problem. Like, little conflicts, that happens. This is Jacksonville, a small town. Of course, you can have little conflicts, but couldn't have, like, big, major, mega conflicts. And then we needed a firm that had, like, the breadth of experience. So we needed a statewide or nationwide or international law firm that could draw upon, like, a bond counsel or this counsel to add into the mix so that if we needed super technical expertise on something, there's a big firm that they can call up the person right away. We don't have to go hire another law firm to go and do that. And so that kind of knocks out, like, the single-person law firms that we have here in Jacksonville, because a lot of, like, solo practitioners could probably have done this. But and that was mostly through direction from the council president that we want to have that breadth. And so I spoke to at least a dozen different lawyers across Jacksonville about this, gauging their interests and also getting their advice. Went through, obviously talked to Jason Gabriel at Burr Foreman. Love Jason. He would have been my top pick. I think he doesn't have, like, actual conflicts, but we saw enough apparent conflicts that maybe working with him didn't make sense on that one. Looked at the big firms like McGuire Woods, of course. They didn't have, like, the local people doing this. Looked at the Zach Millers of the world, you know, who we love, super high-quality lawyers, but it's just them. And they also appear before so often that it probably wouldn't make sense. And so after doing that work, I know Gray Robinson, the law firm here in town, is not doing a ton of work in the city. So that kind of opened the conflicts pathway with Gray Robinson. And after doing all this work, they will be my recommendation today. Let me explain kind of the basis behind the recommendation and then just some thoughts on maybe the best way, if it's this committee's interest in engaging them, how that might be done the best. But essentially, Gray Robinson has is a Florida-wide firm. I think they have like a dozen or so offices across the state of Florida, big Tallahassee practice. They have a big firm here, big office, just a couple of blocks from here, and are just very well-known, very well-regarded. Everybody knows them. Their partners here, high-quality local folks, litigators for the most part, and then they have the expertise on local government. That's, you know, what we were looking for. And so it was kind of easy also because they ran a conflicts check, and chatting with them with their conflicts, there were so few engagements dealing with the city of Jacksonville and our various entities. I mean, it wasn't zero, but it was so few that I didn't see any, like, obvious apparent conflict. So that's my recommendation today, that you all consider engaging Gray Robinson. I asked them to put together a packet for us and what that might look like, what lawyers we might be using, that kind of stuff. But ultimately, the city of Jacksonville's, Office of General Counsel, will have to negotiate a contract with Gray Robinson, because that's how it works, right? So OGC will do the contract. I would love to review it, you know, since it's a city council prerogative, but that's up to the council president. But that's my recommendation. I feel good about it. You know, I've got no personal ties to this crew here in Jacksonville, other than I kind of know them professionally. But I think they would be a solid option for the city council. I would just say that the regulator, that the council president have the authority to decide when and how we're using this is mission critical, because otherwise we're going to have people doing, you know, they won't like what OGC maybe tells us. And so they're just going to go try to get another opinion. And we're not about opinion shopping here with this. This is about bandwidth that's specific to the council. And I assume the next council president, whoever that may be, will do a great job managing this also. So happy to take any questions, sir.
Thank you. Let me make a couple comments and I'll be glad to take questions. I met with Mr. Fackler on Friday. And I clearly understand the role of the general counsel in all this. The general counsel is the ultimate arbitrator of any sort of conflict that might occur. I clearly understand that. I don't see this process interfering with that in any way, shape, or form. And I think he got a good appreciation for the controls I was trying to put on it. And as of this minute today, I see no use for this law firm. But that could change tomorrow. It may be 3 months. It may never occur. I don't know. But I just want to be in the position if we need someone, we've done this kind of work and have a contract and can move quickly, if so be it. Mr. Howland.
Thank you, Mr. President. For Councilman Diamond, would you conceive that this kind of retainer contract be with the firm or with specific lawyer or lawyers within the firm?
Great question. So it would be with the firm. You definitely want to engage. They would only do it that way because that's how they're built, but that's what we would want anyway. So we could literally go in for their menu of services and pick only the ones that we want.
Okay. And then is there a way that, and I'm with no experience working in law firms in the past, which
God bless
I think
you.
Is
that
to my
sounds
credit.
Great.
To my credit, yeah. Is there a way they can build like a security wall or a Chinese wall within the firm to if someone within Gray Robinson or whatever firm we choose does want to represent a potential developer or represent another part of the government that it doesn't create a conflict?
Yeah. I mean, so these big law firms are very accustomed to conflicts. Yep. I mean, it happens all the time, especially when you represent like 100 big companies and occasionally they'll sue each other or have varying interests, especially with that many lawyers. So the easy answer is yes.
Yeah.
And then the more comfortable answer is they're incredibly sophisticated when it comes to making sure that doesn't happen.
Okay.
I mean, literally, you can't even get to documents in a certain place if you are walled off because you're representing somebody else. So, and they're savvy to finding ethical problems. I think the smaller firms are a little less savvy about finding them. Big firms don't want the problem. They're like, no,
yep.
Thank you. They'd
yep.
rather say no to work than to run into those problems.
Okay, so then when you did rule out some because there were too many conflicts, it would become too many walls, too many conflicts, because maybe that firm has a focus on development and they're always there in front of us or something like that. Understood.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Roger, thank you.
By me, Mr. President.
Sure.
Just want to make sure, first of all, thanks for doing all that work. I know that probably took a lot of time, but you're back and you owe us some time, so thank you.
I'll owe you a lot of time, sir.
Question, though, we just passed the Transparency Act. I want to make sure we're in good standing as far as not having to put out an RFP or do anything of that nature.
Yeah, excellent question. So the answer is no, because we've gone through a process. We didn't have to even to comply with that bill. We wouldn't have to because the council president has that prerogative. This committee has that prerogative. So this is the work right here. But in addition to that, I actually went through a matrix and worked on all the pieces that we would want, then populated the firms, then actually went and talked to folks. For example, I called Rob Bradley, who has a very good local government practice, and Rich Commando is taking over St. John's County contract for their city attorney position, county attorney. Wonderful, but they said we're too busy, right? And so we've gone through like the hit parade of what you would do if you're evaluating a contract like this, way above what is required here.
Excellent. And this doesn't affect the authority of the Office of General Counsel in any way. This is just a...
It should not. And look, if there's tension between these two, then we haven't done this right. That's not the goal.
Yeah, I had extensive discussions. In fact, is Mary still there? She's behind the chair. There she is. Mary was in the meeting with Mr. Fackler and I, and I made it very clear that what Mary is performing for the council members, me included, should not change. There's no way that we want to alter that relationship with Mary and what she does in terms of bills and legislation and that kind of thing. That's not the role of this particular firm or a particular person we use from that firm. Okay.
In any way, does it allow even Ms. Tafopoulos to increase her bandwidth to just get some help? Because I don't know if you know how much this lady works. I mean, we all know, but not everybody does.
So the answer is kind of no.
Okay.
But it will save – sorry, Mary. But it'll save Mary when the big monster thing comes, whatever it is. I've been on this council long enough. You all have, too.
Yeah.
Big things come along. During COVID, it would have been wonderful to have some council who could advise us on some of the specific things that were coming at us. When those unexpected things happen, you absolutely need to have council ready to go that you trust, that you can work with directly. And so that's why it really will save OGC when those days happen. They won't have to max out all their bandwidth on the emergency of the day.
And I've also had some discussions with the firm about rates and the rates that we would be looking for in terms of a municipal government, and they seem very accommodating in that respect. So we're not going to be paying $800 an hour or anything close to that.
On that point, sir, I think you and I negotiated – a very attractive rate on the front end here. If we can keep that rolling, then we've done a very good job for the taxpayers.
Well, we will definitely inform Mr. Fackler of those rates as this contract is being developed so that we get those rates as a part of the relationship. Yes, Mr. Howland.
Thanks, Mr. President. Would the contract be structured such as the one who can authorize work would be the council president, or would it be a vote of the council, or how would we structure that?
I see it as being the council president, whoever that person is, so that the contract is set up to whoever's council president, me today, another one in the future, can use this relationship.
Understood. Thank you.
The only thing I'd add to this, council now, president.
I clearly would personally lean on Councilmember Diamond, if we came up with an issue with his legal experience on should we at this point. We'd probably have to call a notice meeting to have that discussion, but I would rather do that than make a rash decision on using outside counsel.
Yeah, I mean, because it'll get expensive if we're not thoughtful about it, and nobody wants that. Last one, me, I'm sure the rest. I'll just say this, too. You know, this office has existed within our charter for a long time. It's never been activated. So I don't want us to look at a short-term horizon on this. I think it's better, and it's just my personal advice to the crew here, is to look at a long-term horizon. How do you do this right? Let's set down a framework in a thoughtful way so that when we are all gone doing other stuff and there's a whole new crew of people in here, they've got an office of legislative council that works for them, that doesn't cost the city a lot of money, and that is doing and is essentially effective in its purpose and doesn't evolve into something else.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm very strong on using an outside position versus having an inside attorney. I think that would be excessive and be a lot more expensive as well. Councilmember White, do you have any questions or anything? You're good. Okay. Do we need to take any kind of vote on this, or can someone advise Mary?
Through the chair to the committee. So if you would like to take a vote just to proceed with negotiating with this firm that's being recommended, Gray Robinson, then you can do that. And then what I would recommend is that we would have another meeting once a contract has been put together to bring back to the committee for ultimate approval.
Okay, well, let's vote on authorizing. Mary Ann, did you want to say something? Okay. Wait, before the vote?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have some cards? Okay.
Just say it.
Just say it.
But I'm glad we said it. That's why you got good staff to keep me from doing the wrong thing. Then I would say the vote the motion should be to direct the Office of General Counsel to develop a contract with Gray Robinson and bring that back to the president when accomplished for another meeting to share and then implement. Can someone make that motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, I got a first thing. Any further discussion?
Mr. President, is there a point person? Would you like us to work with you directly as our office or Mr. Diamond?
Yeah, work with me directly on this one. I want to make sure it started correctly.
Before we vote, I would like to ask the Office of General Counsel just to confirm for the record that this is fully within our rights in the charter and we're okay to do this and
absolutely.
We're not going to get in any
trouble. We've extensively reviewed and discussed within OGC and with Mr. Fackler the charter language as well as Chapter 14 of the code, which more succinctly outlines the process, and this is well within the authorization of the council under the charter and the code.
Can you, I think it was Mr. Diamond said this had never been done before. Have you all documented that? The city council.
In the 80s, there was a legislative council. I believe it was an in-house attorney that was appointed by council. So it has been done before. More often than not, what you've seen since then has been the retention or engagement of a firm for special needs through our office, such as Smith Busey for the JEA matter. But the legislative council was an appointed position full-time in-house back in the 80s.
Okay.
I stand corrected.
Any further questions?
I do, Mr. President. For Ms. Stephopoulos, the motion we have on the table is just to authorize exploring or starting to negotiate a contract, right? So it'll have to come before the Personnel Committee again for approval?
Yes, because the Personnel Committee has to approve the ultimate engagement as well as the compensation, and that rate structure would be a part of the contract that you all would need to see it to approve it.
And that would be final approval before the contract can then be signed by the Council President and put into
Correct.
Implementation. Okay, so I just am happy with that because I want to make sure we have another chance for the public to weigh in with public comment on this contract before we authorize it signed.
You would at your next meeting when you are ultimately approving it, yes.
All right, thank you.
I would just ask the General Counsel's Office to move with some urgency so we can get this implemented and done.
Understood.
Because there's some big issues in front of us.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, so we have a 4-0 vote. Sorry, Mr. Diamond. Okay. Any other business that we need to conduct today? Then we are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rory.
Thank you for your work, sir.
Happy to do it.
Got a Michigan Wolverines tie you're wearing?
It is.
Missed it. I had Gaffney wear a Florida State tie to a council meeting because we beat the Gators in football this year.
So am I. Although I like how it all turned out.
I mean,